Welcome to Profiles in Prosperity with your host, David Heimer.
Hi, this is David Heimer. Welcome to Profiles in Prosperity. Today, we're bringing back Dave Rothacker for another book discussion. This time, I asked Dave to think about all the books he read in 2017, and that's a lot of books, and tell us about his top three books for 2017. Dave is incredibly well-read. He might read more business books than anyone I know. In addition to reading, Dave is an author, a coach, and a consultant. He is an advisory board mentor for ServiceNation Alliance. He writes for Comanche Marketing. He writes a weekly Saturday rabbit hole for Service Roundtable members, and he blogs some fascinating stuff at Rothacker Reviews. So Dave Rothacker, welcome to Profiles in Prosperity. What are your top three books for 2017?
Okay, well, like picking out children, this is a task that pretty much exceeds my ability. I'm going to go with three books that made both an impression on me and books that I think are translatable to the business owner and business manager. So the first book is The Power of Moments by Chip and Dan Heath. And this book is about defining moments in our life. And everyone through the course of their life goes through moments that when you look back, you can identify those as defining moments. And the way that the Heath brothers categorize that, they say meaningful experiences that stand out in our memory. And that's what they say defining moments are. And these defining moments can be both serendipitous and they can be engineered. So an example of a defining moment that just happens might be like a teacher or a manager or a coach that recognizes like a talent that we have and then encourages us. They believe in us and that helps us. That might flip a switch on and cause us to, take a major path in life. And also, you know, you can orchestrate these defining moments. So from the flip side of that equation, you're the coach, you're the manager, you have someone that you see as a talent and you can take steps to help promote and encourage and draw that talent out and let it loose on the world. And the book goes through, it's basically based on science, psychology. There's a lot of case study, a lot of research, and a lot of real world examples. And that's what the Heath brothers are really, really known for, is it's not just theory. I mean, at all. They're taking practical and life experiences and discussing and talking about those.
Do they suggest that you can engineer your own moments? I mean, the example you gave was engineering it for someone else, essentially. Can you engineer them for yourself?
You can. And basically, they talk about both, either engineering for yourself or engineering for others. And they talk about defining moments from like a 64,000-foot view in four different elements or elements of these classifications. And they call them elevation. And I'll just briefly describe each one. But elevation are engaging with moments and emotions and sensory pleasures that rise above the daily life. Insight is where you get like the aha moment, where that goes off. Pride is the third one, and pride is based on people's achievements. And then connection, defining moments are social, and we bond with others through these. But on an individual basis, there's elements of either one or more of these elements in the defining moments of, say, you know, what we would engineer. So in other words, like, take insight, for example. We're on a path to try to discover a career that we're going towards. And the book sort of helps you with how to look at the insight category so that after, a period of time that, maybe a light bulb will go off. So that, that's basically how it addresses the individual component of that. The Heath brothers provide an incredible amount of free resources that would help the business owner, help the manager get the most out of the book. And they provide details for where you can sign up for their newsletter. You get their newsletter, and then you basically get all these free resources. And as a side bonus, if the listener here likes the book, The Power of Moments, you will love the book, Surprise. That's another book that I recommend, Surprise by Tanya Luna and Leanne Renninger. And it's really kind of takes off with the whole power of moments. And it parallels with it really well.
Good. Number one, The Power of Moments by Chip and Dan Heath. Is that right?
Correct. Number one.
Okay.
Number two is Principles by Ray Dalio. And Ray Dalio is the founder of Bridgewater and Associates, one of the most successful investment firms ever. Ray started his business back in the 1970s, and Ray is he's kind of like a Michael Jordan of that world, or also a Michael Jordan of building a business. And I've recommended Principles to folks before, they pick the book up and they look at it and they get a little bit intimidated. There's a lot of material in the book, but it took Ray 40 years to put this all together. And so when I recommend this book, I recommend it as, taking it in small portions. The book is divided up into three parts. The first part is basically Ray's story, his background. The second part are life principles, and the third part are work principles. And he defines principles as fundamental truths that serve as the foundation for behavior that gets what you want out of life. So the book can be taken, can be broken right off the bat into three parts. You can learn about Ray's background, or you can start on the part of principles for your life, or start on the part of principles for your work and business. But Ray's the kind of guy that moves forward. If he makes mistakes, he learns from them, and then he puts processes and procedures in so that those that are along with him will learn about those mistakes through the processes and procedures. He's a very, very process-oriented type of person. His company is built on what he calls radical truth and transparency, to the point where every meeting, every conference, every call, everything is recorded, and they'll go back and they'll dissect the if they have to reference parts of the conversations or whatever. It's all recorded. There's complete transparency in the company. And he also believes that as far as a company is built of culture and the people. And basically that's like the way that he has put together his principles. Along the way, he created many, many tools that help them with the, radical truth and transparency. They make decisions based on believability. It's a factor that they weigh in, but they have a tool to build believability, and he calls it the dot collector. It's a little complicated to try to explain in detail, but basically what it is it's a tool that measures his people's believability. And so they'll have a way to reference a person's decision on a certain problem. And they'll have a way to reference, how much believability do we put into this one person? And that is answered by his tool because it's already collected. Another thing that he built along the way is he called it an error log. And every error that was made in the company is documented and then torn apart and learned from. So the way that he approaches business is somewhat restricting to the kind of person that kind of freewheels it out there. I mean, he will not let go of a problem until it's dissected in every which way and then documented. A lot of documentation and everything involved with what he does. So like an example might be in the heating and air conditioning business, your dispatchers perform a debrief at the end of every service call. And let's just say that there's a lot of busyness going on and that the dispatcher is hurried, wants to get the tech to the next call. Well, we'll skip the debrief. That would bring Ray Dalio's, multi-billion dollar organization to a complete stop. They would not, he wouldn't allow it. That one little simple thing that this guy has the internal fortitude of no one I've ever seen before, because there's no way you're typical human being can create this sort of organization that he's created, and there would just never would be a time when they would not debrief the technician in comparison terms there.
I gotta say, he has an amazing set of people that are endorsing this book. I mean, first of all, he's spoken at the TED conference, which is, you have to be a fairly significant person to speak there. Secondly, the list of people that are endorsing this book are amazing. You know, Bill Gates, Mark Cuban, Arianna Huffington, Mike Bloomberg, Tony Robbins. I mean, you don't get those endorsements trivially. So good choice.
Yeah, he's, I suggest doing a YouTube search for him to get his, to get the TED Talk, because that way you'll get, you know, the 18-minute version of basically what I'm relating here as well. He also put together a fascinating YouTube video called How the Economic Machine Works. And basically it's exactly what it sounds like. And I highly recommend checking out that YouTube video, How the Economic Machine Works. Another interesting thing real quick here with Ray Dalio and in the book Principles is that it was very important for him to transition his business over to the next CEO. And it's not a perfect roadmap for someone to follow, but for any business owner, you know, that's always a concern. You know, you want your business to live on, and there's some really, really good material in the book for people who are interested in succession of their companies.
Good. So book number two, Principles by Ray Dalio.
Right.
Sounds really good. All right. What's book number three?
Book number three, this probably is my favorite. This is the biography of Leonardo da Vinci by Walter Isaacson.
Oh, so this is the same guy that did the Steve Jobs biography, and he's done several others. I think he did Einstein and Ben Franklin and a few others. Okay,
yep.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah. Excellent biographer. I've read all those books, and he's my most favorite biographer, Walter Isaacson. The thing with Leonardo da Vinci is he was so well-rounded in so many disciplines that when you read anything about him, you're immediately attracted to segments of what he was into, you know, different disciplines and so forth. And I recently heard another industry person talking about reading Leonardo da Vinci, and she was fascinated by the fact that he never finished projects. Thousands of projects that he started, he didn't finish. So there's just so many different ways. If you're a painter, what is discussed in the book on painting is just off the charts with, you know, rich knowledge and information. But for me, what attracts me to Leonardo da Vinci, and this is probably my fourth or fifth book that I've read on him, and that is his power to observe out in the world and then to make notebooks and journal on what he observed in the world, and then to use his notebooks to evolve ideas and build stuff. Even his paintings. His paintings were, you know, and I don't like painting at all. I'm just really not into painting, but, you know, he would be out into the world. He wanted to paint people, say, and so he would dissect bodies to learn about the anatomy and people in general. And then he would make meticulous notes on that and sketches and diagrams and all that would evolve as he kept going over his notes. And then he would make sketches on, say, a painting that he wanted, like, you know, the Mona Lisa, you know, is that in the Last Supper are probably his two most famous paintings. And you know, in his notebooks, you can see how the painting evolves. And for me, that's the most fascinating thing about Leonardo is that he would go out into the world, observe, make meticulous notes, and then let those notes cultivate and incubate and brew. And then you would start to see how he would take bits from one discipline, bits from another discipline, mesh them together and come up with ideas that ended up becoming inventions and ideas that would be inventions 200-300 years, you know, after he even died. It's just a fascinating book. And for me, like I said, the highlight was basically his powers of observation and how he would develop that based on his note-taking.
And so it strikes me that you see a parallel to business ownership, that there are lessons that can be gleaned from Leonardo da Vinci that would be applicable to somebody who is running a business. Is that true?
Absolutely. I've been doing this, David, for 35 years, 40 years. when my youngest daughter or my older daughter was first in daycare, we'd be, you know, dropping her off, and I would just observe and watch how they handled the kids. And I was making notes on that back then, and just, you know, various things of how they were accomplishing moving the kids or whatever they were trying to do. And then, you know, I'd make notes on that when I go home, and then inevitably they would end up in some sort of management thing that I was trying to work on at the time. So it's basically just being observant to the world, following your fascinations, and thinking in terms of, well, how could that apply to my business? Now, I would recommend, if anyone follows along with the notebook and all about that, there's another book that's called How to Think Like Leonardo da Vinci by Michael Gelb. And that's an excellent book to pick up on after you've read the biography to help kind of develop your note-taking skills, your observing skills, and kind of follow through on what I was just talking about. That's called How to Think Like Leonardo da Vinci by Michael Gelb.
Sounds good. I like this. You not only have three top books of the year, but then you've got the follow-ups to them as well.
Yeah. And actually, I do have more resources available based on these three books. And if anyone is interested, I'd be more than happy to give you those resources. Just drop me an email at david.rothaker@gmail.com. And that's david.rothaker@gmail.com.
Yeah, that would be terrific. And I've seen the resources that you've prepared in the past. They're always top-notch. So if you guys are interested, I think Dave always provides awesome stuff. So david.rothaker@gmail.com.
You got it.
All right. Dave Rothaker, thank you so much for doing this. This was terrific. It's always a joy to talk with you. And we're going to do this again. I think, you know, we'll do this every year probably. And maybe we'll do another visit with you sometime during the year and find out what books you're reading. It's always fascinating. You're probably the most well-read person that I know. So thanks for doing
Excellent.
This with us.
Thank you very much, David.
We're always looking for good ideas and interviews for our podcast. If you have an idea or maybe you think you should be interviewed, just shoot an email to profilesinprosperity@serviceroundtable.com. That's profilesinprosperity@serviceroundtable.com. If you think what we're doing has any value, it would be very helpful if you would give us a great rating on iTunes. Thanks for your support. Hope to see you again soon. Bye.